Hi, it's Martin. Welcome to Kaput Radio.
Give peace a chance. That noble sentiment in that John Lennon song. Unfortunately, however, war is a vital element to our world economy. Profit from armament sales is essential to its success. A successful arms-producing nation leans heavily towards income dependency on their sales of exported products. And our global armaments industry produces a lot more than Swiss army knives. Of course, there is the ubiquitous landmine. It's a great seller. Australia made lots of them and exported them pre-Diana. I'm uncertain whether they come with a choice of prosthetic limbs as optional extras. Certainly they are not cheap. They cost an arm and a leg, if not more. Very effective against third world children, women, and livestock. Duntroon and West Point type tertiary institution graduates are also products of the armaments industry, along with hundreds of thousands of armed forces personnel. All types of guns and ammunition, laser-guided missiles and nuke bombs, fighter and transport planes, warships, patrol boats, submarines, tanks and army land transport, high-tech backup equipment and support systems, all are produced. Once explosive ordnances are used, they're doubly profitable. They are not recyclable. And replacements keep the wheels of industry and the economy tuned and turning. There is no possibility of giving global peace a chance, not within the global economy as it stands. The way we must finance our industrial production means that there can be no peace in our time, or in any future time, unless... Ah, yes, that ever-present word, unless. That little word, that glimpse of hope, the hope that we may one day install instead a sane finance model to drive our economy. We adopted our present method of creating new finance a little over 300 years ago. It is this foolish finance that drives the world estranged and deranged economy. It shapes our so-called humanity and our, at times, debatable IQ level. Science has clearly indicated that irreversible changes in our weather are caused by human activity. We are forced to cut all financial costs to the bare minimum. We could be kind and name it economically efficient human activity. Profit-making is an absolute must. It comes before any other consideration of our environmental, personal, or social health. Our irrational, debt-secured finance creates a finance-scarce economy, one that's dependent on the exploitation of all resources. It is destructive of our natural environment. Our day-to-day survival is secured only through short-term planning, short-term thinking. Long-term is not financially possible. Those loans eat at our profits unless repaid as soon as possible. Without profit, we fall. Global finance creation is more than somewhat curious, in that it produces our money at a financial cost. It is issued as a monetary advance and lent out on the basis of a previously deposited security of greater value. But to defray costs and interest, profit is needed. This loan money, based on the client's security, is placed in an account which then becomes the client's bank deposit. Once the sum is withdrawn, the client becomes liable for its return. Profit is then a must to cover the cost of the exercise. When returned, the initial borrowed sum is no longer in circulation. The fees, charges, and interest stay in circulation as profit for bank investors and borrower. All finance in circulation, including profit, is and has been created as an advance of money at the cost of interest and other charges. So, between the advance sum and the profit, there is a never-ending shortfall of funds which must be replaced, ultimately through more financial advances. It is this finance model, this model of debt, that demands, because of its inbuilt scarcity factor, that we survive in a combative world by using our most primal responses against each other. We strive to beat the competitor, not to create a better or sustainable world, but to gain some of that scarce profit. Within our universal debt system, it's the only resource and recourse available that allows us access to the necessities. We use limbic brain reptilian responses for most social and environmental interaction. It has become, if we are honest, in our world of dire financial scarcity, our only means of survival. The primal instinct of self or family preservation is induced by deprivation and scarcity of access. It becomes a recipe for armed conflict, that initial condition required for uncivil war, such as the present confrontation between the Saudi government and Iran. It's presented by the media as a struggle over religious differences. But US and Russia could both share armament sales in this one. Triggered by the dire need for profit, the export sales of armaments to both sides in a combat is just good commercial practice. This adopted debt model initiates and demands, for our immediate survival, that we endure the funding scarcity and the exploitive production methods that fuel our Western economy's lifestyle. Though we mightily fight and protest this notion, the only criterion of value in our debt culture is profitability. It requires ever-increasing industrial growth in production and in product consumption, within a system of scarce funding. Poses a bit of a conundrum, don't you think?
It's the military and the monetary. It's the military and the monetary. It's the military and the monetary. The military and the monetary, they get together whenever they think it's necessary. They turn our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They're turning parts of the planet into a cemetery.
Big industrial and manufacturing nations like the USA, Britain, and France are heavily armaments export dependent. It guarantees their economic existence. But the removal of this industry would push the already fragile West over the fiscal cliff and into the economic basket case of monetary depression, a situation the Third World continually endures. Export sales of armament are more easily achieved in third world nation states that are fearful of their third world rivals, competing for that oh-so-scarce export market share. They are led to believe that they should protect their national integrity through a show of armed force. Through judicious use of the media and agent provocateurs, that essential state of fear is readily achieved. This alone raises the desire for the feeling of security that armaments falsely bring. A perception in the Middle East of threat, think Libya or Syria, must first be fostered in those countries targeted for potential arms sale by arms industry sales personnel. In industrial nations such as Russia, Germany, and China, sales in arms make up a large component of their national economy. Germany, I've heard quoted, as high as 30%. As so-called civilized beings, are you not appalled by what we do to each other and to our environment? But for heaven's sake, never for a moment look for the financial cause that drives those activities, because you may be horrified as well. Don't even consider the possibility of such a causal factor even existing. It may bring an awareness of our own complicity and force us to refrain from whining and bitching about the horrific ecological and sociological consequences about to befall us and our blaming of all those others. Hard to absolve ourselves when we support it, just by living in it. We are all being provisioned by it. But we never once question to see if there is a rational cause. Is there a reason as to why a caring and cooperative species such as ourselves must exploit and abuse in order to survive? Today, the globally unsustainable human activity of rampant expansion and consumption is essential to a profitable, that is, successful, economy. This economic growth factor is imposed by and kept within the well-defined parameters set by the rule of the debt model. Certainly, in the poorer nations, a national leader's perception of neighbours as enemies and rivals is easily fostered. Amid the distress and poverty of third world economies, caused by that global scarcity of finance, a little media manipulation in the right place, especially the marketplace, eventually produces the desired conflict. Worldwide armaments, their servicing, maintenance, and component parts manufacturing are and have been such a massive industry that it could well have become the keystone of our first world's economic structure. Such is the nature of our finance that no nation's domestic market, by itself, is able to support its local industries. Yet, economic viability as such is essential to our living standards. A pathetic economy, at its very best, cannot be compared to the sustainable living standard that we are quite capable of creating with a viably rational monetary system. We are entirely reliant on and restricted by the requirement of profitable export sales. In other words, all businesses, and this includes governments and banks, are primarily concerned with profit from debt. Our living standards come second. Arms sales in most industrial nations are such a large financial and economic component that without them, all economies are at risk. A war somewhere, anywhere, is more than just a fiscal stimulus of last resort to these nations. It is a fiscal essential of first recourse, regardless of the cost and destruction of foreign infrastructure, fear, and the tragedy of civilian death and injury.
Americans no longer fight to keep their shores safe, just to keep the jobs going in the arms-making workplace. And then they pretend to be gripped by some sort of political reflex, but all they're doing is paying dues to the military-industrial complex. The military and the monetary. The military and the monetary. Military and monetary. The military and the monetary get together whenever they think it's necessary. They turn our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning the planet into a cemetery.
Advice to the curious. Just imagine being able to relax and stop bemoaning the fate awaiting us. We all share the responsibility of living and having lived under an official and officious imperative that's commanded by and controlled by a method of money creation that we arbitrarily installed all those years ago. It's one that demands for our economic survival our otherwise indefensible human activity. We agree that civilization is facing a crisis. But who cares to define this crisis, to do a detailed analysis of its structure, to do other than blame the failings of human nature? Oh, those greedy people. Or consider the possibility of a yet unidentified cause and formulate a solution. If we ask any number of economists for solutions and guidance, we get any number of answers, but no solutions. They've all been tried and found wanting. None have yet, or can, produce universal prosperity. To explain, our globally accepted economy requires of an individual, a business, an industry, or a nation, the prioritizing of product value. The universal, all-time number one product in value and importance is the financial commodity we call profit. Not food, or water, or shelter, or humanity. It's profit. The manufacturing of goods or services plays only a secondary role to profit. These are merely offered as trading lures for a potential profit. The food manufacturing industry is not a business to supply our food needs. It is in business to create profit. A nice person doesn't one day just think, people need food, clothing, shelter, and arms. I must produce some for them. No. In business, the profit product must come first. Without profit, there can be no business, no trade, and no access to the products of industry. So some, nay, too many, go hungry in this debt world of scarce finance amid a relative abundance of other sustainable resources. A prostitute is not in business to supply sex. The motive here is the same as in any other business, just like the motive in the banking business. A bank's shareholder's motive is just income. Profit stands supreme. It's our world's number one most important product. It is every human's must-have product. If profit is not or cannot be achieved, then those goods and services created by industry become worthless, as they cannot be accessed without profit money, even if they are sorely needed. If you can't make profit, you go hungry. Those inaccessible goods lose all value. They actually become a cost burden to commerce in dumping them. Financial profit alone gives us access to goods, goodies and services. No money, no profit, means no access to anything. In the wider economy, goods are bought with advanced money, but are not owned by the borrower. They belong to the bank till the advance is returned along with interest costs. Banks, legally chartered by a 1694 Act of British Parliament, can advance finance access from the value of a customer's asset. They can offer other financial products in the hope of making even more profit. Bank and client, the two human elements that bring new money into existence. Both lender and borrower must be able to profit, or both cease to be financially viable. To explain the process, the bank client, in expectation of profit, presents an existing asset or a viable idea as an asset to the banker, who, in the expectation of profit, advances the finance product through overdraft or other, based on the asset's value or earning ability that will enable the servicing of the loan. Back to conflict. Armaments, apart from making the possessor seem powerful, can and do, through profitable export trade, keep the armament-producing countries economically afloat. Just about every other type of primary and value-added national product helps in this regard. They are all somehow needed in or needed to support the manufacture of arms. The manufacturer is not necessarily motivated by the desire to kill, destroy, and maim. The CEO of Lockheed Martin or Boeing thinks of dividends. He thinks and is motivated by profit for his shareholders. In the wider financial scheme of things, economic, the armaments for export are merely a product. They are merely a vehicle carrying the potential for that crucial profitability. Such economic viability is essential to our Western livelihood, our well-being, our living standards, such as they are. Let's leave the moral or ethical standards out of it, shall we? As the purchasing power within any nation's domestic market cannot meet the financial cost of local production, we are forced to resort to export. Any export. It's our methodology of monetary creation which leaves large economies dependent on war and exploitation. Armed conflict, for the armament-producing nations, brings a much-needed boost in export sales, helping to maintain our Western living standards. These nations may be in financial competition, but they are all brothers in arms. The arms race and the refurbishing of high-tech armaments has been an important economic survival factor, a domestic market's essential fiscal stimulus. Remember that Air Force, Naval and Land Forces equipment manufacturing support innumerable ancillary industries in the domestic marketplace. Export profit from war is as essential to our armaments producing allies' short-term economic survival as any other export profit. In a world run by financial scarcity, no large first-world arms industry can afford to lose such a massive theatre of economic activity as war and its resultant arms sales. Economic survival requires profit. Profit requires exploitation. Profit for large armament-producing nations requires war. They are symptomatic. Full explanations of these statements are available.
The only thing wrong with peace is that you can't make no money from it.
Let's roll. 1, 2, 3, 4. Imagine it. There's no heaven. Heaven, 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 heaven. It's easy. If you try, no hell. Below us, bus. And above us, only sky. Imagine it. All the people. Living for today. Imagine it. There's no countries. It is not hard to do. Hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion, too. It's a good idea. Imagine all the people, living side by side. Peace. You can say, I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. And I hope someday you'll join me and the world. We'll live as 1, 2, 3, 4. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. Brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing. All the world. Imagine. Thank you very much. Peace.
The only thing wrong with peace is that you can't make no money from it.
We strive for peace.
The only thing wrong with peace is that you can't make no money from it.
Let's come together.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Imagine. Saying is give peace a chance. Imagine. Let's come together. Saying is give peace a chance. Give peace a chance. Imagine
All of us want peace.
Thanks for listening, folks. You heard Give Peace a Chance, written by Graham Ferguson from his own research, presented by performance poet Len Martin. John Lennon's and Yoko Ono's song with the same title, Gil Scott Heron's poem, The Military and the Monetary, and Wax Audio's Imagine This. My name is Martin. You can Google Kaput X Radio, Kaput with two T's, by the way, to find more Kaput Radio programs. So catch you next time.